how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Appreciate very much the opportunity of being with you. I look forward to coming to the Little River Association. One reason, you've got such a good number of preachers I enjoy hearing, and that's exciting. However, the barbecue was special. I did very much appreciate that particular effort. I would like to announce that on the first weekend of November, we will be having our annual meeting, and those that haven't come out to our new church building, we invite you now. The building's not the church. That's just sticks and stones. But love to have you come and visit with us. We're going to have Brother Sonny Piles, Brother David Piles with us. First weekend of November, Friday night, all day Saturday, Saturday night and Sunday. We would love to have you. We also have the Defense of the Faith. Last year, it was just a wonderful meeting. Now, the Lord didn't cooperate with the weather. It was 2 or 3 inches of snow, and a lot of folks from Alabama and Maryland and Virginia and Tennessee that had planned to be with us, just didn't come. But we still had 200 young people there. We'll meet on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. That's the 27th, 28th, and 29th. And it was an exciting meeting. I had almost 60 people spend the night in my home. Now, they were young people. They can sleep anywhere. And they did sleep everywhere. But we did very much enjoy it, and we invite you to come back and be with us. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I've been traveling through the book of Philippians in the church that I serve for several weeks now, and it is a wonderful book. It's centered in the subject of joy. And when you understand that Paul's in prison, chained to a Roman soldier 24 hours a day, and you'll find he's writing the church at Philippi and telling them to have joy. I love it. Prisons would palaces prove if Jesus were only there. Philippians 3, and I'd like to read verses 1 through 11. Finally, my brethren, notice, he's in the middle of the book and he's already quitting. He didn't really quit. It's like a lot of preachers I know. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Now, you'll find where the Apostle Paul was often bothered by legalists. They were Judaizers. You had to be circumcised in order to be saved. And he said, these folks have dogged me everywhere I've been. When he says, beware of dogs, three bewares. Beware of dogs, he's talking about these Judaizers that are trying to teach a work salvation system. And he said, look out for them. They're dangerous. Now, the dogs that were described by the Syrophoenician woman that came to the Lord, when she said, you know, I came to the Jews. And he said, well, don't the dogs eat from the master's table? Don't they get the crumbs? Now, that was a little puppy dog. These dogs, it's a totally different word. It's these ravenous, flea-bitten, hairless dogs that are attacking people. And that's what he's talking about when he's talking about these Judy. Oh, by the way, he's not very nice here. Strangely enough, all before this, he's sweet and just as kind. He's loving. All of a sudden, he brings out his sword and starts swinging. And he describes them as dogs, evil workers. Beware of the concision. The term concision is the word mutilator. You see, I can describe it this way. Those that have been to the Philippines with me, you'll notice where all along the roads, they have these rotisserie where they're barbecuing chicken. And when you buy one, and they're only, a dollar and a half, when you buy one of them, they say, do you want it chopped or do you want it whole? Well, I've gotten to where I like the chop. And what they do is they take a hatchet. It's not really a hatchet. It's a cleaver. They take it and I mean, you won't even recognize it when they get through with it. You won't know what you're eating, but it cuts it up in nice little pieces where when you've got as many kids as I do, it's helpful. But this is a mutilator showing the difference in circumcision and mutilation. Now, for we are of the circumcision, talking about the circumcision of heart, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. He's describing what a true Christian is. It's one with a circumcised heart, one that is trusting in the Lord, where they're in his confidence. Now, in this letter, in this chapter, he divides it in two ways. He's now going to talk to us like an accountant. From verse 12 on, he talks about as an athlete. But now he's going to talk about us as an accountant, a profit and loss statement. Let us look at the loss. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man think he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Then he lists out his credentials. Circumcised the eighth day. My friends, I've done everything according to tradition. I'm not one that's a gladly come lately. I came immediately at birth, and at 8 days they took me down to the temple and they circumcised me. Of the stock of Israel, I'm purebred. I'm not a half-breed. I'm not somebody that's been converted from the Gentiles. I'm a thoroughgoing Israelite. Of the tribe of Benjamin, now he's talking about rank. You see, Benjamin, within its borders, was Jerusalem. You probably thought Jerusalem was in Judea. It's not. It's in the tribe of Benjamin. I'm with the capital city. Oh, by the way, I'm also one of the favorite sons of Jacob. And not only that, the very first king. Why, he was a Benjamite. Not only was he a Benjamite, but you'll find where his name was Saul. That's not my telephone. It sometimes is, but that one's not mine. A Hebrew of Hebrews. There's a good number of people out there that they speak Greek instead of Hebrew. I want you to know I never gave up my native language. I'm a Hebrew. I don't fool around with those Gentile languages. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Now you'll find where he's bragging about his own accomplishments. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. As touching the law, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. He not only drove them out of Jerusalem, he wanted to drive them out of the world. He was killing them, causing them to blaspheme. He went out there trying to destroy the church of God wherever it was found. He said, I was after all that were in the way. The way is describing those that were in the church of Jesus Christ. Touching righteousness, which is of the law, blameless. Man, I've kept it to a T. Now, he's not talking about what was preached a little while ago. You see, Christ took the law and magnified it. By the way, that's prophesied in the book of Isaiah. He took the law and he said, it's not only you can't just do these things, you can't even think these things. He showed where no man can fulfill the law. Well, but these things were gained to me, though I counted them lost for Christ. Remember, this is a profit and loss statement. He said, these things did not get the job done. Then he tells you five matchless benefits with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to talk about the next few minutes. Five matchless benefits. One, the knowledge of Christ. Two, the righteousness of Christ. Three, the power of Christ. Four, the fellowship of Christ. Five, His glory after a while. Let us quickly look at each one of these. You will find a wonderful comfort if you have hope in the message of Jesus Christ. You'll find in John chapter 10 and verse 4, Christians are actually described as those that know Him. I am the good shepherd. I know mine own, and mine own know me. They know Christ. In John 17, this is life eternal, that you might know Christ and Him that sent Him. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8. And let's look quickly at another portion of Scripture that Primitive Baptist enlightened me with when I came to visit among them and finally joined them. In Hebrews chapter 8, there's a wonderful lesson here speaking about the old covenant and the new covenant. Remember, the word that best signifies the book of Hebrews is the word better. And he's showing you one of the bases of the new covenant in Christ is far better than that old covenant of law. Beginning with verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. I will write them into their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Let me share something else with you. Did you know the new covenant is older than the old covenant? You see, this is true in the Old Testament, just like it's true in the New Testament. This is how He saves people. He saves people by grace. Verse 11, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Why? He teaches the heart. I love the story of an Alabamian, probably the most famous Alabamian, who's deaf and dumb. Now, dumb's not a good description of this lady. Her name's Helen Keller. A nurse, a loving nurse, who was a Baptist, by the way, not a primitive Baptist, and she was trying to reach Helen Keller for the Lord, and she finally communicated to her and said, there is a God, His name is Jesus Christ, through hand signals. She immediately responded, I've known Him for a long time. Thank you for telling me His name. Don't you love it? You see, God teaches the heart. And until God teaches the heart, the preacher doesn't have a job. God is the one that quickens. The time is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? He's the shepherd and bishop of our souls. He keeps that which Satan and all the demons of hell cannot destroy. He is the Savior of sinners. Brother Marty one time had a meeting here where we wanted to speak on different aspects of Christ. And one of them was the friend of sinners. I called him up and I said, Brother Marty, I would like to have that as my topic. The friend of sinners. He said, Brother Hart, I'm sorry, but five people have already asked for that. You're late. I'm glad I've got a God who is the friend of sinners. He is the bread of life. He's the water of life. He's the sustainer of life. My friends, do we know him? He said, you'll find where every child of God has something within them that desires to know his God. David made the statement with clarity. He said, in this world, some people seek for fame, others for glory, others for power. He says, but I shall be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. May we as God's people seek to know him. And what a joy when we do. He's the creator of all things. He is the great physician. He is the true vine. And without him, we can do nothing. He is everything to us. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. First moved to Atlanta. Accepted Bethany Church. Wasn't a year till a church at Powder Springs was ordaining a deacon. And someone asked me if I would please go there and participate in the ordination. With joy, I went. I got there a little bit late. They were still having some lunch. And they said, I want you to hear this tape. I said, who's it by? They said, it's a black man from California. I said, what's his name? S.M. Lockridge. I said, really, it's a little bit late. And he says, you wish you'd taken the time. Well, he was a good salesman. It was on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. S.M. Lockridge is Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. He served a church in San Diego. I've been by his church. I went into his church. I wanted to meet this man. When it began, he said, the hinges of human history turn on men who believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And then for 15 minutes, he gave a description of my Lord. I'll tell you what, that man could preach at my church any day if that's the sermon he wants to preach. He said, the birds, he doesn't need a copyright on the songs of the birds. He's the owner. He doesn't need a deed to the cattle of 1,000 hills. They're his. He doesn't need ownership because all things belong to him. And for 15 minutes, he quoted scripture about my Lord. Oh, my friends, do we know him? Would you like to know him? A dear friend of mine, when I was attending a Bible school in Birmingham, Alabama, I went to his room, and he was only 19 years old. I was just 20. And written above his desk was Philippians 3:10. That I might know him and the power of the resurrection, the fellowship of the suffering, and being made conformable unto his death. I said, why is that above your desk? He said, it's my life verse. And he looked at me with wet eyes and said, in all my life, I'll be satisfied if I just know Jesus Christ. May we as God's people have the drive, the desire to know Jesus Christ. Life would be a satisfaction. To be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Went to a college in Kentucky. By this time, I was a believer in the grace of God. Wasn't a primitive Baptist. I was what was called a Calvinist. And this school was Arminian. Very Arminian. You could be saved and lost 2 or 3 times a day. Boy, that's bad. Had a course on theology. And they gave us the opportunity. Every person in the class could spend 30 minutes on one theological subject that Christ taught. I was so anxious to share with them what I wanted to about the theology of Christ. Righteousness comes by God's work alone. After my discourse, everybody was upset but me. Finally came to the exam. And they had one discussion question. The discussion question was, define prevenient grace and give a scriptural defense for it. Now, prevenient grace is grace that's sufficient for every man to be saved. Prevenient, before the cross, before the work of Christ, before you were born again, the work of Christ was sufficient for every person to become a Christian. That's pretty important doctrine. And when it was stated, I listened well. The man gave out three portions of Scripture. He did a pretty good subject matter of deciding them. And then when the test came, that was the only discussion question. So I went to him. I said, sir, do you want what I believe about this question? Or do you want what you believe about this question? He said, he looked at me and laughed. He says, I'm going to grade you on what I taught you in class. I said, okay. I went back there and I wrote down exactly what he taught us in class. I took those three scriptures. I'd done an exegesis of them where you actually go back to the original language and try to study it out, and I gave his answer. Then I drew a line and I put an arrow up. I said, this is what you believe. Then I put an arrow down and I said, this is what I believe. And I taught the lesson called total depravity. That we're dead in sin. We don't have the ability to hear the gospel. Don't have the ability to understand the gospel. Don't have the ability to believe the gospel. I got my paper back. I think it was a 97. I was mad. I should have gotten 100. But right down at the bottom, he said, Gus, come see me. Well, I went to see him. And first comment, do you really believe what you wrote? I said, yes, sir. He said, can you defend it? This man knew more scripture than I'd read. I mean, he was a professor of theology. But I went through the doctrine of depravity one verse after. I didn't even give him a chance to answer. Just one verse after another and after another and after another. Finally, he stopped me. He said, son, stop. So I did. He said, I'll give you that point. I said, sir, if you give me that point, you got to give me all the rest of them. The only hope we have of righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. Amen. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Amen. He justified us. And the term justified, he declared us righteous when we weren't righteous on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And if you ever understand substitution, you will understand mercy and grace. He took our place and made us righteous. The matchless benefit of a relationship with Jesus Christ is that we are righteousness. Notice, through the faith of Christ. Now, I understand much of the argument that we as primitive Baptists take on that. But let me just go the other direction for a moment. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. My friend, I do not believe in this easy believe-in religion. It's not that way. In Ephesians chapter 1, let me give you a clincher on this subject, which easily preaches the principle. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Listen, it takes the same power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead for a dead alien sinner to believe.
Amen. Right.
The only person that's going to believe is one that God in turn has quickened. Righteousness, which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I believe a child of God can commit any sin that a person that's not a child of God. He just can't enjoy it. I've tried to do a little counseling. I haven't done as much or been as successful as I would like to have been. But there's no temptation taking you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful, who is able to give you a way of escape.
Amen.
We cannot blame God for our sin. And I say this for a word of encouragement. Sin is like chains. It'll bind you. Habit that's an ungodly habit. And I don't really care what it is. They're all the same. And we're all weak in particular areas. But you do not have to yield to that temptation. God is able. Paul says, I know that within my members there is a law of sin. That there is a principle within me that's pulling me back to that old man. And this is true, and it'll be true as long as you're alive in this present world. He said, is there anything to deliver me from the body of this death? Yes!
Amen.
Jesus Christ, my Lord. He'll deliver us finally in death, but he'll deliver us while we're here. May we realize our responsibility to live in an honorable and a godly way, and he will deliver us. There is power with our Lord. And fellowship of his sufferings. I don't know what time I started, but I'll quit pretty quick. There's a benefit of fellowship. Now, I need fellowship. I do. When I come on the grounds this morning and saw all these preachers, that's one of the things I missed in the Philippines. Now, I have wonderful fellowship with preachers over there, but I've been with these preachers for years, and there's a love and a warmth that I found there. I spend hundreds of dollars calling you preachers just to have somebody to talk to about the things I love. I even, as much as I despise the arguing on the internet, I turned on it just to get a little contact with those whom I love so much. But I want the fellowship of my Lord. And notice, fellowship of his sufferings. Sufferings. Did you know there's a benefit in suffering? There is. David said that it was good that he was afflicted. You can always learn more through affliction than good times. you'll find it'll drive you to the Lord. And he said, I want that fellowship when I have suffering. Broke my back, got stoved up in a hospital. And I've always, as a kid, my father was a doctor, and I hated needles. I just couldn't stand to get a shot. Well, this nurse came in and gave me a shot. It was wonderful. I could almost get addicted. I was hurting so bad, and when she gave me that shot, immediately I felt better. And every time she walked in the door, I was glad to see her. And I'd wake up in the middle of the night in pain. And one night, right before I went to sleep, I prayed a prayer of adoration. I was adoring my Savior. I felt as close to Him as I could reach up and touch Him. I fell asleep. No pain. Several hours later, I woke up again with the same warmth and love toward my Lord. I'd almost break my back again just to do that. I mean, it was such a joy to me. I want the fellowship of my Lord, whatever the case may be. Went through a division of a group of churches in Florida, and literally I lost weight. I couldn't sleep. I was in distress. But every time I went to the stand, God gave me as much liberty as I've ever experienced in my life. And He was my comfort. He was my joy. My Lord was my fellowship. The fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, that I might attain to the resurrection. I hate to say it, but I've got more friends on the other side than I got on this side now. And it's getting more that way. And since I've been back, I've preached about 10 funerals. Most every one of them, there were people in years. And it was a joy. Death will be a friend after a while. When you've had enough of suffering and pain and heartache because of what our Lord's done for us, death becomes a friend. A preacher from South Georgia came through Bethany. He gave a great illustration. He said, you know, one of the things I've always hated in the wintertime is to crawl into a bed with cold sheets. He said, when I got married, my wife always went to bed before I did. And she'd warm it up for me before I got there. Then he made his illustration, talk. I've always despised the thoughts of being buried in a casket in the ground. It's cold and it's dark. But I'm thankful. The Lord's warmed up that grave. And He made it a good place to rest for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Tried to preach on heaven recently. The Lord's going to take this earth, cast it aside as a garment to be worn no more. He's going to burn it with a fervent heat. And He's going to destroy it. And He's going to make a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Did you know heaven's going to include this earth? That's right. We won't be sitting on a cloud strumming a harp. No. One time saw in this comic book, and it had a person in heaven strumming a harp, and he said underneath it, the caption was, wish I'd have thought to bring a magazine. No, my friends, it's not going to be that way. We're going to be with our Lord forever. And we'll have the joy of an eternity in a wonderful place that will last forever. This is part of the matchless benefit of knowing Jesus Christ. Thank you for your kind attention.